This is a Triple J podcast.
It's one thing to not like your friend's partner because you've seen them behave in ways that make you feel concerned or rub you up the wrong way. But then it's another thing if you haven't actually observed them or not even met them, but are only hearing negative things from your friend.
Hey, it's Dee here, and this is our last Thursday episode for the year. Don't worry though, we're still going to have other pods throughout the summer, but it's just going to be some of our best episodes from 2025. So do not stress, we're still going to be in your feeds and there'll be a lot of episodes for you to catch up on that you might have missed throughout the year. But today, the chat that you're about to hear is off the back of the latest pod that Pip and I did around whether or not it's okay to tell your friend if you think their partner is shit. And nearly 70% of you told us on our Instagram at Triple J The Hookup. Go and follow us already if you're not. That is where we, you know, put up these polls and we chat to you in the DMs. But yeah, nearly 70% of you told us that you should tell your friend if you don't like their partner and that honesty was the best policy. Which, I'm not going to lie, I was quite shocked by that because I think that in theory it's a great idea, but then in practice, nearly 35% of you told us that you lost the friendship when you brought up the fact that you didn't like their partner. So, yeah, it's obviously super nuanced and a very delicate situation, especially if your friend is dating someone toxic or abusive. You don't want the person that they're dating to isolate them even further from you and then, you know, end up being in a really, really tricky situation. So I thought that it would be best to chat to an expert about this, you know, chat about things like how to approach this conversation, how to have it, what's the best things to say, and how to navigate if your friend does push you away and chooses their partner over you. And just a heads up, yeah, we will be talking about potential abusive situations, and we'll give you some resources in the show notes, some numbers to call if this chat brings up anything for you. But the person that I thought would be the best to chat to about this is couples therapist and psychologist Liz Neal. So let's get into it. Liz, thank you so much for coming on The Hookup.
Thanks for having me, Dee.
So as I mentioned, nearly 70% of our listeners said that you should tell your friend if you don't like their partner, which I was really shocked by that. Mm. What do you think about it?
Look, I think that's unsurprising. You know, I think that most people, in when they're seeing their partner doing something that they're worried about, the instinct is to really talk about it. And I think in a secure, balanced, comfortable friendship, there should really be space to be able to open up and talk about that. Absolutely.
Yeah, we'll chat about how to have that conversation in a sec. But do you think there's a situation where you should leave it? Because obviously every kind of dynamic is going to be different compared to when you absolutely definitely should say something.
Yeah. Look, it's a really tricky one. And, you know, obviously, I mean, you're sort of preaching to the converted with this one, but if there's some sort of manipulative sort of, you know, motivation for bad reasons, then obviously that's not a good idea. But, you know, if someone's going to do that, they're going to do that anyway. I suppose one of the other sort of things would be if the concerns about the partner are really just still in the realm of the hypothetic, right? So, you know, there's a suspicion that might be a little bit unfounded or a little bit uncredible, you know, someone kind of saying, you know, maybe your partner is just trying to date you for PR, or they're trying to do something, you know, they're sort of in this sort of manipulative, potentially manipulative motivation themselves, then that's going to be inflammatory and most likely be damaging, and unless there's any sort of real credible reason, there's probably not a good idea to be talking about that stuff.
Yeah, because there's obviously a difference when someone maybe doesn't like your partner because they just like rub you the wrong way, but they haven't actually done anything and your friend might be happy. Mm. And yeah, you were right about the manipulative thing, because it's like sometimes people might just be like, oh, I want my friend to myself, or like, I don't want to share them with their partner, or they're spending more time with this partner and I'm getting pissed off about that.
That's right.
What do you think about like when you just think your friend can do better and having that conversation? Because that was something a lot of our listeners said. It was just like, I just want the best for my friend and I just feel like they're settling and they can do so much better.
Again, you know, it really depends on the reason why, but also the source of the opinion. So, you know, it's one thing to not like your friend's partner because you've seen them behave in ways that make you feel concerned or rub you up the wrong way or make you feel a little bit icky or just kind of, you know, observe things that you don't like that give you this instinct. But then it's another thing if you haven't actually observed them or not even met them, but are only hearing negative things from your friend. And so quite often that will happen where your friend is complaining a lot about their partner to you, but you're only getting that story. So, I mean, there are sort of issues with both of those things, but I think it comes back to the quality of the friendship, because if you have a good friendship, you can kind of say, look, you know, what you do and what you decide is entirely up to you. Can I just let you know some of my thoughts? And it doesn't mean I'm going to dislike your partner in the future, or maybe it really is. You know, that's when we're talking about some of that more serious stuff. Like, I really need to help you see maybe some of your blind spots here, you know, but it all needs to be treated with delicacy, because you are running the risk of putting a sort of a fracture in your own relationship with your friend.
Yeah, and we heard that from so many listeners, and I've even experienced that myself where I've lost friends. What about when you should tell them? Do you think that it should be straight away as soon as you have some concerns, or should you wait a bit to see how the relationship develops and whether or not it becomes serious? What are your thoughts?
Yeah. So when I am clinically trying to decide on potential personality traits or attachment styles, we're looking for patterns. So even in my own work, when I'm kind of deciding, oh, does someone have maybe, you know, a narcissistic sort of flavor about them, I'm looking for at least three occasions of sort of confirmation, or three occasions of things that kind of fit into a category there. I would be like, oh, okay, yeah, look, this person I think is probably presenting as maybe with some avoidance stuff, because I'm seeing it once, I'm seeing it twice, I'm seeing it three times. So I would probably recommend a similar approach where you hold off until maybe you've sort of seen things and you're not seeking them out, you know, you're not going scanning for them, but maybe sort of maybe around when there's maybe three times your gut feeling is saying, I don't really like this. This is a concern.
I love that advice. Some listeners told us that you should only say something if a friend asks for your thoughts, because they're going to kind of, you know, brush it off or do whatever they want anyway. What's your experience with that?
Again, it sort of comes down to the reason why the friend is asking for your thoughts. You know, sometimes people are just wanting the answer to say, no, I love your part. Like, they're great. They're so great, right? Or quite often a person in a relationship that isn't healthy is definitely not going to ask for your thoughts. So I wouldn't say that should be a guide as to whether or not you do disclose your thoughts. I think that being asked and not being asked doesn't necessarily represent a healthy reason to or not give those thoughts away.
Yeah, let's chat about that fragility and the difference of when you just think their partner's a bit shit compared to when they're dating someone who might be more abusive. I personally believe it's your job as a friend to do everything that you can to help your friend get out of that relationship and to have those difficult conversations. But I'd love to hear what you think about it. And how to actually do that, because like you said, you could be pushing your friend away, right? Like, I actually isolate you from the abusive partner. So how is the best way to chat about this with your friend?
Yeah, it's a delicate one. I think when people are in abusive relationships, maybe they don't want to admit to themselves what's going on, but they generally will feel validated when someone else will say, these are the things I've seen, these are the things I'm concerned about, these are the ways I've noticed you've changed, and that's not a criticism, but I'm worried about you. And so that is really, really helpful to validate and give a voice to someone who isn't going to really speak up. But I think that what needs to happen is that you're coming in there without an agenda, without saying, you need to break up with this person. There's this sort of direction or call to action. It's just kind of flagging, you know, are you okay in this? You know, these are the things we've noticed that are happening differently. We're not seeing, you know, you're seeing more sort of closed down or less happy. It's just finding out how they're going and what their thoughts are about what you're saying. You know, here's my thoughts about this. This is my concerns. This is also what I've seen, perhaps from a family experience or another sort of situation, you know, which is why some people will have that instinct to raise concern because it's familiar in another context or even their own personal experience. But it's really just kind of keeping the friend in the relationship with the power to do what they want to do. So it's, here's this information. It's your call. What do you think about this? Maybe I'm completely wrong, but just sort of laying it out there at least gives that friend that might be in a risky situation the validation to have their own voice in the long run.
How do you navigate and deal when your friend gets angry at you and defensive? We had, I can't remember her name, but we had a listener send us a voice memo about a situation where she and a couple of the other friends felt like she was dating this guy who was like love bombing her, that she was going to move overseas within a month of knowing him. She kind of was like changing all these things about her life, and they raised the concerns, and then she got really upset, angry and defensive, and then ended up blocking them and ending the friendship.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Mm. So how do you deal when your friend gets like kind of turns it back on you and gets angry?
Look, the first thing is to try to sort of master the art of delivering the message in a way that is really gentle and just sort of, you know, out there, you know, just, you know, these are my concerns, which if it's non-confrontational, then you might prevent the defensiveness. But regardless, if the person's going to be defensive anyway, because they just don't want to hear it, they don't want to hear any of the roadblocks. They don't want any of the shine to come off this, you know, relationship that's, you know, they've got all these, you know, hormones flooding that's making them happy and excited about this, and you're perceived to be a roadblock, and they get defensive. Look, I don't know that there's much you can do. You know, you could maybe apologize. You can say, look, I'm really sorry if I overstepped the mark here. But at the same time, friendships do change in the context of relationships often anyway. And even if we're not talking about a situation where you've got a friend trying to warn another friend about the relationship, just by nature of a new chapter in a person's life, you know, that friendship may have changed anyway when the friend moved overseas, and they're, yeah, that, so we can't really stop the inevitable sometimes. And, you know, sometimes friendships have their way of finding themselves back again, but ultimately there's going to need to be some radical acceptance around that. If a friend isn't ready to hear it, doesn't want to hear it, etc.
Can you explain what's going on psychologically? Because I found this so interesting. Nearly 95% of our listeners said they would want their friend to tell them if they were dating someone shit and dating someone abusive. But then, like I said before, nearly 35% of our listeners have lost a friend from doing that. So I feel like that's such a disparity around like what people say that they want compared to like how they actually handle it when it happens. Why do people push their friends away, or why do friendships end over having this conversation?
You know, it depends on the stage of the relationship, but even having said that, you know, I was going to say that in the first sort of phase of a relationship, in the first 9 months, statistically, we are filled with the limerence hormones. There's all the serotonin and, you know, dopamine and oxytocin. So we're driven to pursue the relationship at the cost of anything, right? We've got these rose-colored glasses on. So we're not going to hear our friend. We're going to even maybe misinterpret their intention and misattribute them as being jealous. You know, you're just jealous. You just don't want me to have this good thing, etc. So that can happen because there's this drive not to end the relationship. But then even as the relationship continues, and someone can be in a relationship for a couple of years, several years, there's this attachment that's formed. It's very difficult to end a relationship when there's an attachment there. It's actually hard work to do that unless you really genuinely want to. So unless you really want to end a relationship, having someone kind of coming in suggesting that you should is trying to kind of like interrupt a really, really forced, strong thing that can't really be broken from the outside. And so that's why it's really difficult. And that's why people will reject that information, because it's not their driver. It's not their driver at the time.
Yeah, and then go into denial and probably tell themselves stories, right, to whatever they can say to themselves to make sure that they stay in that relationship rather
than deal with the hard truth
of it.
And so it's ignoring the contradictory information, whether it's through a friend or whether it's through behaviors that are not appropriate. That's right. It's denying that information that changes the narrative into one that could lead to the relationship breaking up.
How should you navigate if you're worried about the partner isolating your friend even further? Like, you know, if they kind of catch on to the fact that you don't like them. And then I know that I've seen friends in, you know, narcissistic abusive relationships where the partner will then try and turn your friend against you.
Yeah.
How should you navigate that?
Yes, I've been working with a couple recently where this has gone on for sort of several years. I think that as much as we can, and I'm going to say as much as we can, because people change in relationships, you know, those friendships that are pre-existing, especially those ones that have been there from the beginning, we want those friendships to maintain channels of communication, right? Regardless and independent of a relationship with a partner. So if those channels of communication are there, then to some degree, it's hard for those friendships to end. And in fact, you know, you can be a supportive friend who's in a really bad relationship for a long time and have that lifeline. And in fact, that's often a really valuable thing for the friend that feels stuck in this relationship. So if that can be maintained, that's really great. And nothing can really get in the way of that. But yeah, so, you know, it can be really difficult when there's that isolating thing that happens, and it can really break whole family, social networks down. It will inevitably create conflict between the partner and between the couple, right? So it's something that, you know, on the outside, you're going to have very little influence in if you don't have a strong independent relationship with your friend outside of social events. So that's probably the real only protective factor, is maintaining that independent channel of communication with a friend for it to not be compromised by a difficult partner.
Yeah, we had a couple of listeners say that when they had this conversation with their friend, they made sure that they said, I'm here for you always, no matter what.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
I'm going to love you, and I'm not saying you should break up with them or whatever, do what you need to do, but I'm here. And even if we're not friends, I'm still here for you. Do you think that's important to get across?
I do. I think that is the only certain, or that is the only, you know, predictable way that friendship can remain intact. That's right. Yeah, I'm not going to judge you. You know, I worry about you. I will always be here for you no matter what happens. I think one of the challenges that can sabotage that bond is when a supportive friend becomes really fatigued about the complaints, the relentless sort of never-ending complaints. That's sort of the responsibility of the friend in the relationship to recognize that they're dumping all of this negativity, and then a friend can't really handle that for forever.
This was a huge chat that Pip and I had around, like, we really just struggled to figure out what to do when you want to be there for your friend through everything, but also when it's completely impacting your mental health because you are the person being dumped on, but also, like, you are so, like, torn by seeing your friend constantly going back to something that's really unhealthy for them. And sometimes you do have to end the friendship on your own side.
Yes.
Is that also okay to do? Because it's like, oh, if it's abusive and toxic, it's like you want to still be there for your friend. But then when do you draw the line of when it's impacting you so much?
I think everybody has their own right to put in their boundaries where they need to. And, you know, it gets even more complicated when it's a sibling, you know, when it's a sister or a brother, and you've got this somewhat kind of, you know, permanence to the relationship, and you can't really say, look, you know, I can't support you with this anymore. I can't be around this anymore because it's so relentless. But yeah, so certainly with friends, you know, yes, sometimes those friendships will end, or there'll just be far less contact and less time spent together. But it's also okay. And I've worked with people who have had the friend confront them and say, look, I want to support you, but it has been now 3 years or whatever, you know, it's been this long, and it's really hard for me to hear this continuously when I can see that you're not really doing anything proactively about this. And sometimes that then can be a wake-up call for the person and kind of decide, I've either got to decide this is going to be a relationship that I can't change and it's not sustainable, and maybe I need to look at that, or I've just got to accept that there are these shitty parts about my partner, and that, you know, complaining about this to my friend is actually damaging our relationship. So it's got to be really assessed like that.
Yeah, and it can be so powerful when you maybe have like even a group of friends. And obviously, like we've been saying, you have the conversation really delicately, but when you've got a bunch of people being like, we're really worried and we love you and we need you to be safe and happy. And it might be the first time that they've really acknowledged the weight of how unhealthy the relationship is, because they've got, you know, five or however many people in the room saying that to them, rather than just one person, where they have more of a chance to create a story in their head around, oh, well, they're just jealous, or they don't know what I know, or they don't get it, you know?
Yeah, that's right. Yes. And the strength in numbers there will obviously convey a very, very strong message, assuming that all of the people are, you know, that their opinion is grounded in credibility as well.
Yeah, and not attacking. How would you recommend encouraging someone or your friend to get help through a therapist or a psychologist or someone more qualified?
Yeah. So, you know, I think it's really just simply letting people know that there are resources out there and that it can be really helpful to talk to someone independent, someone that is experienced in relationships and also experienced in different kinds of attributes that come into relationships. So psychologists and therapists are often really well versed in identifying character traits of narcissism, you know, or, you know, coercion and manipulation. And so having someone that can really kind of be a great sounding board to identify, some of these things that their friend is dealing with are actually either annoying, but, you know, but sort of not unhealthy, or actually these are really big red flags that need to be identified, so that the responsibility of the expressing of concern is removed from the friendship and taken over into the realm where someone's actually trained to be able to provide that kind of discussion, not advice usually, but at least analysis.
Are there any recommendations you have, Liz, around, like, for someone listening right now, the best place to call or to reach out or start looking into those places?
So you can always Google sort of local psychologists who are relationship trained in relationships. You know, often relationship therapists are doing couples therapy. So some couples therapists won't work with individuals, but often they do. And so they've got training in things like personality disorders. But otherwise, yeah, therapists that do have an interest in personality, attachment styles, those relationship attachment based therapists will have that particular training. Yes.
Amazing. And we'll put all of the details in the show notes as well, with how people can find you and all of the work that you do, as well as some hotlines to call. Liz,
great.
This has been so helpful. Thank you. It's such a hard, like I was saying in the other episode, I was like, this is like a delicate surgery. It's like,
yeah, it is
so fragile of a conversation to have. And yeah, it's
absolutely
so great to have gotten all of your hot tips and all your advice. So thank you.
Thanks so much for having me, Dee. Thanks.